Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai 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 Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada, Jai Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtutarasata Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotarasvati Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srinahidash Thakur Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Prem se kahu Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopi Go Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navridham Ki Jai Gangamai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulasi Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavind ki jai, Gaura Premanande, Hari 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 Bo. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine, Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 18, text 58. Machita Sarva Durgani Mat Prasada Tarishyasi Atachit Tvam ahankaram nashroshasi vinankshasi. If you become conscious of me, Krishna says to Arjuna, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, you but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Purport, a person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think that one should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws, But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done, but a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Shrishtam Manam Api Shachiputramatra Surupam Rupam Tasya Agrajamurupurim Bhaturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atafpada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashakan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm now going to give a personality development talk about imbibing the qualities of detachment. Courage, endurance, love, and purity, or at least being inspired to imbibe these qualities, especially using as an example one of the great exemplars of all these qualities, Sri Bali Maharaj. Those of you who have studied the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam will be familiar of the narration of Bali Maharaj, who in one act of giving away all his possessions, which happened to be the whole universe, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in defiance of the order of his guru and the wishes of everyone who was associated with him, who loved him, who looked up to him, he gave everything away to Vishnu. So in that one act, he demonstrated detachment, courage, endurance, love, and purity, and many, many other qualities also. All based on his devotion to Lord Vishnu, Krishna, Vamana Dev. This is really the central quality. The most important of all is love. Everything comes from love, specifically love of Krishna. He did so. He gave away all his possessions. He justified himself in opposition to his guru by saying that it's my duty, I have to do it. But actually, over and above everything, he was motivated by love for Krishna. We hear people say I love you, I could do anything for you, I could give my whole life for you, I could give everything I have for you. But on the spot, Bali was asked to give, well, he wasn't, that's another whole thing, as he was tricked into doing so, but he was quite willing to do so because he had such trust and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he was prepared to give everything. So love, his love for Krishna is the basis of all his good qualities. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kato mahan guna manoratena sati dhavato bahihi. for a person who has developed pure love for Hari, the Supreme Lord, who anyway takes everything away from us in this world, who feels himself to have nothing in this world, who's totally detached from it, then all the good qualities of all great saintly persons develop. Whereas someone who may appear to have many good qualities, but is not attached to Krishna, he actually doesn't have any good qualities. So when we're talking about courage and endurance and purity and so many other good qualities, we should know that these qualities on the spiritual platform are quite different to those on the material platform. One can have detachment also in the material sense or in the material sphere. For instance, someone of very high character materially. Let us take the example of Mahatma Gandhi. He was living a very detached life, but his aim was political, for uplifting his country. And he even went as far to say, he was famous for chanting the name of Lord Rama, but he said, well, for my country, for my political ends, I could give up Ram Nama. And he made clear what his priorities were. So ultimately he was a materialist. He wasn't on the spiritual platform. His love was misplaced. So that's just giving one example. Bali Maharaj's courage, tremendous courage to go against everything and everyone all around him, that was not the courage of a soldier who goes into war. Similar, but because it's from a different dimension, it's from the soul, not from the platform of illusion. Anyway, the first one I mentioned was detachment. So that's the obvious one. That Bali Maharaj, even though possessing everything, wasn't attached to anything. Actually, he was, in one sense. Why should he have undergone such a great effort to conquer the whole universe in the first place? But then when Lord Vamanadeva came before him, then it was very, very clear his options, this or that. You want to maintain your position as a great king of the world? Literally, the king of the world. Not a king of the world, but the king of the world. And Shukra gave him away, right, you can slip out of your promise. But he thought, no, I'm going to give everything to Vishnu. Sarvesham Vishnave datva mudho vartishyate katam. Seemed to make sense. Shukra Acharya said to Bali that, well, if you give everything away, how are you going to live? How are you going to live? But Bali, he is reckless love. He gave everything to Lord Vishnu, detached. And we can understand from this, from Bali Maharaj and from everyone in the material world who's after material prosperity, that don't. It's be detached. It doesn't make sense to chase after money, because as Prahlad Maharaj, who had taught Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj taught the very easy to understand, if one is a little bit detached from this world, that money in its acquisition is troublesome. When you have it, it's troublesome, because people are trying to take it away from you, either by taxes, by pretending to be your friend, by trying to sell you something which you don't need, by maybe attacking you. So money in its acquisition, in maintaining it, in having it, and then all the trappings, you have to maintain your prestige and all this big show of... If you have money, you have to have a big house, much bigger than you need to live in, just to show off how prestigious you are, and so many things. You have to have a fancy car, and so many nonsense things. So in its maintaining one's wealth, and then losing it is also very troublesome. It's very painful to the mind. Not that one actually owns anything anyway. It's like sand passing through one's fingers. You don't really own it. While it's passing through, you can say, "Oh, now it's my sand." But it's in your hand for a short time. You don't really own it. It's definitely not going to remain in your hand forever, but one becomes attached to it. So detachment we can learn from Bali Maharaj. And then his courage in the face of so many difficulties. This is this verse we read. Chetasa sarva durgani. Here in this verse, durgani. This verse from Bhagavatam. Durgani means obstacles, difficulties, obstacles, impediments, things which are difficult to get over, difficult to go past. So definitely there are going to be obstacles in life, and being spiritually awake doesn't mean that there won't be any hassles in our lives. We generally have a idyllic, stereotyped idea of someone who's very spiritually advanced, who's very peaceful, holding a flower, smiling. But it doesn't mean that because one is spiritually advanced that there won't be any difficulties in one's life. It may be that there'll be more difficulties. Yes, it may be. Many people take to spiritual life when they are suffering difficulties. But it's definitely not a guarantee that we won't get any more difficulties, because the nature of this material world is that it's full of difficulties. But spiritual consciousness, understanding I'm not part of this world, I belong to the spiritual world, I belong to Krishna, that spiritual awareness helps one to tolerate all the difficulties, or to handle, not just tolerate, it's just simply tolerating. One has to act in this world also to try and overcome them also, just like Arjuna. He's now the prime example of one who is faced with either the difficulty of fighting against people you really don't want to fight against because you really love them, or of being maligned by those very people for not fighting. So Arjuna was in a bind, in a dilemma, what to do. He was facing great difficulties, and his idea was, well, I just slink away from the fight. But Krishna wouldn't have anything of it. You have to go through the difficulties. You have to handle the difficulties, and it was difficult, no doubt. I was just thinking today about that Mahabharata fight, how one particular episode, that when Drona was killed, and then definitely the Kauravas, they were disheartened, but the Pandavas the Pandava force on one side, they're very happy. On this side, actually no one was happy. No one wanted him to die, either the Kauravas because he was their commander in chief, or the Pandavas, because they loved him. But they had to kill him. So Krishna didn't say that, well, Arjuna, as Srila Prabhupada often gave the example, oh, you're my friend, you just go to sleep on this chariot, I'll look after everything. No, he made him go through all the difficulties. With Bali Maharaj also, Vamana put him into difficulty. And he may do it to you and me also. Especially that from Bali Maharaj we can learn also that Krishna may put us through difficulties. if he loves us. It seems counterintuitive, but Krishna says, yasyaham anugrahaname harishe taddhanang shanai. For someone who wants to come close to me, but is attached to his material opulences, position, prestige, I take it away. It's not fun. It's not easy. Krishna doesn't give us an easy path. Now, we learn from Bali Maharaj that then Bali Maharaj, Arjuna, so many cases of how to handle difficulties when they arise. Arjuna and Bali Maharaj, they were kshatriyas. They're meant for tackling the difficulties of this world so that other people under their protection will not have to undergo undue difficulties. The kshatriyas are meant for protecting the citizens. So they have to punish miscreants. They have to fight against marauding, invading kings. They have to see to the affairs of the state. For instance, they may have to build or renovate a dikes or dams to protect against the vicissitudes of the river. That's just one example. It's another way they protect the citizens. So they have to take particularly the kshatriyas, they have to take on difficulties to protect others, to help others, so that they don't have so that others don't have so many difficulties. I'm talking about here on the material platform. So the test of a kshatriya is how he faces the difficulties. It's not how he does in archery practice. That doesn't count so much. Archery practice, all right, very good. Arjuna hits the eye of the bird. Very good. Very good. The eye of the clay bird in practice. He's the only one who does it. But the real test is in the battlefield. And kshatriyas, they are trained for fighting, and it's not some mock fight in some video game or something like that. They're really right there with blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of blood. A lot of blood for the kshatriyas. So Arjuna and Bali Maharaj, they were kshatriyas, fighters, and although they had training in morals, virtues, and ethics, because they're not thugs. They're moral fighters. They're fighting for the sake of morality. Although actually Bali was a head of the demons, but even they have some morality. They fight. They live largely according to Vedic principles, as I've often pointed out. Hiranyakashipu, however bad he was, we didn't hear him making a divorce. So the kshatriyas, they're meant for fighting. Sukhina kshatriya partha labhante yudham idrisham. The kshatriyas, Krishna's just reminding Arjuna, you remember kshatriyas, you're supposed to be happy when you get a chance to fight, because it gets, otherwise, training, to get an actual opportunity to fight, they become very happy to do that. It requires courage. That's one of the other things I was talking about, courage. Now, Bali Maharaj, he just gave up the whole universe without a fight. We would have expected, okay, now we understood, Vamana is actually coming on behalf of the demigods. We're not going to give this up very easily. The demigods are at their tricks again. Okay, we're ready to fight them again. But Bali Maharaja just gave it all away. That's from the... It seems ridiculous. At least he should have put up some good fight. And Vamana wouldn't have fought, He's a Brahmin. He's coming as a Brahmin boy. Brahmins, they don't fight. And he's, anyway, he's just a little boy. Of course, he did later show he's not such a little boy. Little boy grew up very quickly. He became a very big boy. But Vamana wasn't going to fight. Nrsimhadev, yes, he'll fight. Then Parashuram, he comes later. Yeah, he fights. Dasharathi Ram, he fights. Krishna and Balaram, they fight. But some of them are fighting and some of them are not. If we find the avatars. Vamana, came as a Brahmin, so he wasn't going to fight. Of course, Parashuram did also, but he was unusual in that respect. But Bali had another kind of fight. Definitely within his mind, it wasn't just that he's not just some kind of machine. Okay, I'm a devotee. Vishnu has come. He wants me to give everything. Okay, I'll give everything to him. It's just like Arjuna. He had so many thoughts in his mind. He became confused. Bali didn't become confused, but he must have had so many thoughts in his mind. It wasn't that he didn't think about how my family members are going to be disappointed. Not just disappointed, I mean horrified. And all the demoniac military commanders and my guru. It wasn't that he didn't think about that. He did make a sacrifice. It was a great sacrifice for him. Otherwise, where's the sacrifice? If he just kind of, Krishna says to do this, therefore you should do it. A devotee thinks like that, but it's not that a devotee doesn't, it's not that he doesn't feel, he feels. And there are other forces pulling him this way and that way. At least we can say in Leela, that it's not Leela, the past tense, means people have consciousness and they interact with others. It's not only with Krishna we interact with others. There's Krishna and there are so many other millions, billions, trillions, unlimited numbers of other living beings, and we're supposed to be sensitive to them also. So there was another kind of fight within his mind, but he just decided. He didn't have much time. He had to decide on the spot what to do. He was a fighter. But in this case, he decided, as Srila Prabhupada quotes, discretion is the better part of valor. And there was, as can be expected, fight following that, because the fights between the demigods and the demons go on and sometimes on, sometimes off, but it's always going on. And it's going on in our mind also, at least those of us who come from the demoniac background and we're trying to come to the godly platform. There's always a fight within the mind. Shall we do the right thing? Shall we do the wrong thing? There's always a call within the mind to do the wrong thing. So that it requires courage to go on doing the right thing when everyone around us is telling us to do the wrong thing. Bali Maharaj, everyone around him, they just presumed that, okay, this boy came, he asked for 3 steps of land, the measure of land that can be measured by 3 paces of his tiny little legs, and Bali agreed, and then Shukra said, wait, don't do that, this is Vishnu, he's going to cheat you. But I can't tell a lie, Bali said. No, you can, because in such and such, there are certain circumstances when you can tell lies. And he quoted from some Shastra, and everyone thought, oh, great. Great, I'm so glad we've got this Shukra as our guru. He's smart. He knows just the right thing at the right time. Saved us. That was a really tough one. He was about to give everything away unknowingly to Vishnu. Oh, Shukra saved us. Great. So now Bali, he's got the solution. Everyone thought that Bali, well, yeah, obviously he's got the solution. He's a noble person. He doesn't want to tell a lie, but now he's got the solution how to get out of it. But Bali had the courage to tell Shukra that, no, I can't. And your advice is, in one sense, it's according to the letter of the law, I can avoid living up to my promise. But the underlying spirit of all the laws of this scripture are that we should offer everything to Vishnu. So I'm very glad you told me it's Vishnu, because now I am absolutely determined to give everything to him. If I didn't know and you were telling me to get out of it somehow or other, then I could have considered. But I wouldn't like to lie to a Brahmin, even if you give me a way to do that. So he's in a tough spot. I mean, do you lie to a Brahmin, or do you refuse to follow the order of a Brahmin or his guru? Puts you in a tough spot. Something like Nriga Maharaj, there are two Brahmins, and both claimed that the cow he had given to them, he'd mistakenly given the same cow to two different Brahmins, and both of them said, I want that cow only. So there was a disagreement, and the sufferer was Nriga Maharaj. So one way or the other, he was this Bali Maharaj was going to go against a Brahmana and displease a Brahmana, a very powerful Brahmana. Either way, so he decided to follow Vishnu. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagatitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. He who is the ultimate benefactor of all Brahmanas, who is the object of worship for all the Brahmanas, who is the source of the quality of a Brahmana in all Brahmanas, and who is the benefactor of the whole universe. He's the benefactor of the whole universe. He's certainly the benefactor of his devotees. That Govinda had come before Bali Maharaj, and he decided. It took a lot of courage, and that courage, it's based on purity. Purity, clear understanding. His clear understanding came from his purity of motive, that I must do everything for the pleasure of Vishnu. So he was a fighter. And if we hear the stories of him fighting, some of the most, you could say, entertaining stories in the Bhagavatam about the fights between the demigods and the demons, and the Kshatriyas, they're noble persons, and even all over the world, the most exciting story, the stories that get perpetuated, many of them are stories of fighters. In the Vedic tradition also, Mahabharata, it all leads up to the great battle. There are so many battles, but it leads in the Mahabharata, but leads up to the great battle, which the Mahabharata, the subject matter spans the vast expanses of time, but a huge portion of it is just covering 18 days, which is the battle of Kurukshetra. Similarly, the Ramayana, it all leads up to the battle between Rama and Ravana. And the Kshatriyas, they're very exciting people, because they engage in valiant activities, daring activities, showing so much courage, and especially if they have great qualities, they take so many risks for the benefit of others. They're worshipped. They're great personalities to look up to. But even Even the personalities of Ravana, we can respect him and admire him. Of Hiranyaksha, when after Lord Bhor, Lord Varaha had slain him, he praised Hiranyaksha. And how noble he is, what a great fighter he is. Karna, Datta Karna, despite his serious faults, he's still remembered for his noble qualities of charity, so in this way, the fighters, they're very, this fighting, it's a quality that to fight, that brings out so many other qualities at the time of fighting. And that's true in the material sphere also. The soldiers are trained to fight. And they're trained, and they have to take their training very seriously. There's His Holiness Dhanavir Goswami explained how somehow at one point he was training for the Israeli army, and he couldn't take it very seriously. Was it Dhanavir Maharaj? He couldn't take it very seriously. Maybe Dira Govind, I can't remember exactly now. But then, no, I'm getting mixed up altogether. Excuse me. It was, I can't remember who it is now. It was in the devotional literature I read. It's contemporary devotional literature, how someone was being trained in the army and they couldn't take it seriously. They didn't like their officer who was always on their case. But then at one point he realized that, hey, I'm going to be out in... Oh, then he got called to the... And then they got told, the soldiers in training were told that, okay, when your training's over, you're going to be sent to Iraq or something like that. And then he realized, hey, I'm going to need this training. This is for real. And then he started respecting his officer. The officer was tough with him. But he realized that toughness, I need that. Because I'm going to be facing real life situations. It's not war games. It's real war. We're really going to be in that situation. So when the soldiers they're out there in the moment of crisis, and what do you do? How do you act? Nowadays less so, but often these soldiers they may do things in the course of fighting which are not proper, but there's more lenience for them in the law because it's understood that you're there sacrificing for your nation, and you're in the heat of battle. You have a split second to decide what to do, and you may just go wild, and that doesn't justify war crimes. But there is some measure of lenience has to be there for soldiers. They have to act in a crisis. They just in a moment they have to choose what to do. Like Bali Maharaj, he just had a few seconds. Often the soldiers don't even have that much time, whether to retreat, whether to rush out into the battlefield to try to retrieve their comrade who's wounded. They may not have too much time to, whether they do it or not, risking their own life, and therefore they become heroes. They risk their life for the sake of others. Now, a saintly person. Now remember, this Bhagavad Gita is spoken to Arjuna, but it's meant for instruction for all of us who are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, or even to advance in any path of dharma, karma, jnana, yoga, and especially for devotees of Krishna. So at every moment. And it's true even in the material sphere, but especially in the spiritual sphere, we face decisions, a battle, whether to do the right thing or the wrong thing, at any moment if we're inattentive. Disaster can strike. Kshurasya dhara nishita duratya durgang patas tat kavyo vadanti. It's like being on a razor's edge. At any moment we can tumble into the abyss of wrong thoughts. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. Our enemies are always surrounding us. The soldiers in the battle, from time to time, they face their enemies. But someone who's trying to go to Krishna, their enemies of lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, pride, material attachment. So many enemies surround us all the time. So we always have to be alert. In a battle, if you're not alert, you're finished. Just a moment of inattention and you're likely to be dead. Mm. And even if you are attentive, you can be struck. But here Krishna says, Chetasa sarva durgani matprasada tarishyati. By ourselves, there's no guarantee, but with Krishna's help, we will cross over all the obstacles. And the soldier on the spiritual path, his battle is actually noble. We praise the soldier who fights for his country, but it's not really a very good cause, actually. It's just like fighting between cats and dogs. Fighting in the modern age, one country fighting against another country because you happen to be born in one country, you feel attached to it, and you go out and fight people who you have no anything personally against them, and they're probably very much like you in many ways. They have their wives and their children but somehow or other you have to fight them at the whims of a politician. You send people to slaughter each other in the battlefields. So just like the soldier has to take training for the battle, so the devotee also has to take training. And training is always ongoing. It's not that, well, I've been a soldier now for 30 years, but still you have to, you don't want new tricks. The enemy's always dreaming up new tricks. We have to remain alert. We have to, constant training. Even we're going up in Krishna consciousness, but still we have to remember, never trust the mind. Read the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, Jarabharat, is repeated instruction, never trust the mind. And then Jarabharat, he'd been Bharat Maharaj, highly advanced devotee, but he became diverted. So many valuable lessons we have from the Bhagavatam. Whatever is there in Bhagavad Gita, in theory, we have so many examples of great devotees who struggled, but they came up again. And we have to apply that in our lives. That's our training. We have to hear, we have to act. for the materialistic soldier, his objective is to kill the enemy. Our objective in spiritual life, we don't have enemies to kill per se, but we have to overcome them. They'll never be killed. Material lust, greed, anger, all these things, they'll never be killed, but we can transcend them. Otherwise, they remain in the world, killing others' prospects for spiritual life. So if a soldier himself, he has to get strong enough to resist the temptations of lust, anger, greed, and so on. And then he has to equip others to fight also, to fight their own battles also. So then we get endurance to keep on going. It's chanting Hare Krishna for 40 years and still pride, envy, illusion. What to speak of very basic, just ridiculous lust. But still have to have endurance. Keep on going. Mat prasadat tarishyati, Krishna says. I will carry you over. I will carry you over. Keep on going. The soldier has to keep on going. He may die. The devotee doesn't die. Devotee never dies. Physically, the body will die. But for a devotee, nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatin tata gacchati. He's always maintained by Krishna. Jivane marane gati arnahimo. In life, the body will die, but devotee is carried by Krishna. That is his great hope, great confidence. Whereas for the materialistic soldier, poor people, they're just wasting the, actually. Although it's noble, it's courageous, they're brave, but what's the use? Arjuna was a kshatriya, he wasn't a philosopher, but Krishna made sure, hey, you better understand some philosophy. You better understand what the real thing, at least understand. Okay, you're not going to be a great Vyasa or a great Nara, Devala, Asita. You're not going to be some big philosopher like that. But you should understand these points. Otherwise, you'll be fighting, you're a great soldier, this and that. But unless, Arjuna, you understand that everything is for me. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi dadasi yat tapasyasi kauntaya tat kurushva madarparam. Whatever you do in this world, do it for me, Krishna says. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerities you do, whatever you give away in charity, put me in the center, Krishna. Then it becomes perfect. Otherwise, the tremendous sacrifice that soldiers make, it's like offering oblations into ashes, oblations of ghee into ashes. It's hopeless. It may seem to be that you're doing the right thing, but you're not. The actions are similar, but the result is very different. So devotees, they take spiritual training, ongoing training. And the training is going on while the fight is going on. For devotees, the fight is always going on. There's the internal fight against the internal enemies, and then the preaching fight. We have to, on behalf of the acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, fight all the misconceptions in this world according to our capacity. It's not a one man's job. It requires a disciplined army, actually. Srila Prabhupada so many times used martial analogies. A devotee is not looking for praise, but he has to become praiseworthy in order to be a useful tool in the hands of Krishna. If someone thinks I'm going to go into the battle and become glorified, if that's his main motive, then he may not be able to make these kind of sacrifices that are required because he's putting himself first. It's actually much more difficult in many ways to be a spiritually advanced person than it is to be a soldier. It's not easy to be a soldier. There are many, many in the history of the world, and even right now, there are many, many soldiers. But how many people will you find who are willing to sacrifice everything up to their lives, and literally their lives? They don't have any vacations. Everything. There's no retirement, like a soldier may retire at some point. Devotee never retires. So there are many soldiers, but the number of physical soldiers, but the number of people who are willing to give their whole life to pursue this highest ideal of giving everything to Krishna, surrendering everything to Krishna. Not so many. But they are ultimately more glorious. They don't look for glory. They only look to please Krishna. And they become great personalities. Just like in the wartime, some ordinary farm boy or whatever, so he may become a great personality. Some great qualities may come out, which he or neither he nor anyone else could imagine, that this just some ordinary Joe hanging around the village streets does some work in the day. He doesn't have to be a very highly intelligent person, but he has to have the to be a great soldier. You have to have the quality of giving yourself. And you may find that even an ordinary boy becomes a great hero. So even on the material platform, if someone can put aside everything for the sake of his country, so how much more glorified is a devotee? And that also goes to show that someone doesn't have to be a great scholar, doesn't have to be a big leader in a big position or any such thing. It may not even be recognized. How many war heroes? We don't know how many war heroes there are. The ones who took so many risks for the sake of protecting their fellow soldiers and got killed. They didn't come back to tell the story. And maybe their fellow soldiers, no one knows. The unknown soldier. So they may be unknown also. So many great devotees. Maybe not very much known, but Krishna knows. They have to be selfless. A soldier in the battle has to be selfless. If he's thinking, my main aim is to stay alive, then he can't fight properly. He has to go out and risk his life. But a devotee has to be selfless at every moment throughout his life. Otherwise you can't be a devotee if you're really going to be a devotee. So it's not so easy. It's not so easy, but the reward is great. And Bali Maharaj, he didn't want a reward. He didn't want a reward because materially he already had everything. He was giving that away. So what was Vishnu going to give him which was materially great? He already had the whole universe. But then Vishnu did give him another place which is even better than the heavenly planets. He got that, but that wasn't his aim. He didn't know that he was going to be rewarded like that. He was given that, ultimately. So, considering all of this, how should we approach God? Not to pray that, deliver me from all troubles. Yeah, in one sense, we pray. Iha shangshare bahudustare kripaya pare. Kripaya tare pare murare. The followers of Shankaracharya pray that this material world is so difficult. Save me, pick me up, take me over. Ainanda tanaja krinkarang patitang mang vishame bhavam buddha badho. Kripaya. Yes. So take, this world is horrible. I've fallen in this material world, but take me, not just take me, kripya tava pada pankajas tita duli sadrishang vachintya. Make me like the piece of dust in your lotus feet. So devotees, they want to get out of the material world so they can be fit to be at the lotus feet of Krishna. It's a very exalted prayer. But while we're in this world, the devotees, they don't pray to be free from all difficulties. They know that this world is full of difficulties, but how we face the difficulties, that is the real test. How we face them in Krishna consciousness and do our duty despite so many difficulties. Duty means acting for Krishna's pleasure. Machita sarva durgarni mat prasadhat tarishyati atichetva mahankaran nashoshasi vinangshasi. Because devotees know that if we become conscious of Krishna, we will cross over all obstacles of conditioned life by His grace. But if we don't work in such consciousness, but then what's the alternative? Then we have to act not in Krishna consciousness, means in I, me, and mine consciousness. False egoism. And then we're lost. Then we lost the whole trail, the whole thread of what we're supposed to be doing in this world. But what if Krishna himself makes the obstacles, we see? In the case of Arjuna, it seemed to Arjuna, Krishna's... I found a way out of these obstacles, but Krishna's forced me back to them. In the case of Bali Maharaj, Vamana came and made the problem for him. What do you do in that case? Then we remember Radharani. In what way? Aslishava padiratam pinashtuma madarshanan marmahatam karotuva yata tata vidithatu lampato mat prananatas tu saiva naparaha. Very high prayer, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers teach it even to beginners in devotional service. She prays to Krishna that you can embrace me or trample me under your feet, kick me, or even worse than that. Actually, to be kicked by Krishna's feet is very nice for the devotee, he thinks. But in love affairs, you wouldn't think like that generally. But the worst thing, you make me broken-hearted by not letting me see you, by vanishing from me. But whatever you do, I know, even I don't expect you to be of, even if I don't expect you to be very kind or whatever, then even if I'm giving my whole soul to you, but you don't seem to care, but still you are the Lord of my life unconditionally. So Krishna doesn't say, you become my devotee and I'll remove all the obstacles. Then you can sit back and lick an ice cream. But rather, Krishna says, I'll help you to cross the difficulty. I'll help you. Doesn't mean that you don't have to face them. But I'll help you through. Even, we're talking about Arjuna and Bali Maharaj, we think, yeah, that's in the past. But we see even such a great devotee as Srila Prabhupada, how many obstacles he had to face. We can't imagine, but Srila Prabhupada set the example. So, I'll finish this talk with a quote from Srila Prabhupada, from a letter he wrote to Jai Govinda on the 15th of September 1967, which sums up these topics, his instruction to Jai Govinda: do your best to serve Krishna, and he will give you the required intelligence to cope with disturbing situations. Oh, there is one more thing. I'm going to try go back. Because as I was reading the purport, I just realized, as soon as he, the devotee, acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated. But we found with Bali Maharaj, as soon as he acted in Krishna consciousness, he was tied up. Aslishava padaratam pinashtumam. Do it. Radharani didn't say, well, even if you tie me up. That happened to Bali Maharaj. Krishna acts with his various devotees in various ways. To be tied up by Krishna, to be put in difficulty by Krishna, that is a greater sign of Krishna's mercy than going to pastures, green pastures with fresh air and everything nice, and to be given difficulties to face. That is greater mercy of Krishna. It requires guidance from pure devotees to understand this. It's not something that the artha, the one who approaches Krishna in distress, can understand. Anyway, I said I'd finish with that quote, so I'll read it one more time. Do your best to serve Krishna, and he will give you required intelligence to cope with disturbing situations. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.